Can I cast Fireball if I can't talk?
No, that spell has a
verbal component.
Alright, we'll go then in 3, 2, 1.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to this week's episode of the Verbal Components Podcast. Off to a fantastic start that I started through the intro, so that was fucking great. I'm not redoing it. We go for take one, and that's it on this show, so I'm not recording that intro, and I didn't start it that much, so we're just gonna let this one rip. Welcome back to this week's episode of the Verbal Components Podcast. I am your host, Matt. I'm here, joined by my sweet co-host, Evan, like always.
All the things you do, something blue, and we're
You picked a song that you didn't know to start singing.
Well, we're both wearing yellow.
Oh yeah, we are. I guess we are kind of matching. So if you're watching this on the video format on our YouTube channel, you'll see that Evan and I are wearing matching long sleeve yellow shirts. Except his looks like he's about to go hook a trout, and mine looks like I'm about to go for a 2 mile run.
Hold on, I got my fishing hat.
Oh, you got your fishing bucket hat? Throw that motherfucker on.
That's
fucked up. This is a weird conversation to have on the podcast, but I think I'll bring it up. You know you left your glasses in my car? The pink heart sunglasses you left in my car?
Fuck.
They've been in there for like 2 weeks.
Shit. All right, yeah, I got to pick those back up.
Yeah, so I have them. They're in my car still. They fell in between the side. I didn't see them until I opened up the side door, and they were, like, right underneath the seat.
Fuck. Yeah, that was a fun ride.
Yeah.
After spending a week on sabbatical, Matt picked me up at a fucking Wawa. I was sitting there like a hobo, like Harry Potter.
That did happen.
Movie 3.
It was a fun drive home where both Evan and I were sleep-deprived, and so we listened to
Angel of Vine.
Yeah, Angel of Vine, and then at the end, when we were both pretty much completely loopy, he put on Ram Ranch for the last 25 minutes of our ride. And Evan, don't say it, because if anyone listening to this has not heard Ram Ranch, I beg you
Ram
to go,
Ranch.
Go to YouTube and look it up, and you'll thank us later for the absolute laugh that you'll have. If you have young children around,
boys in the showers.
Maybe don't look this up with young children around, young siblings, or
Cox's heart is rocks.
He's giving you a preview of what it is right now.
Ram Ranch really rocks.
Motherfucker. Let's get this out of the way right now. Thank you guys for being so patient with us as we got our backlog of episodes out. This is the first week in how long? How long have we been behind? 3 weeks? 4 weeks?
Yeah, something like that. We've been
behind
for a while.
So this is the first episode in a month that you guys are getting technically live in our live recording studio. But this is the first live episode in a month, so thank you guys for hanging in there as we caught up with our backlog of episodes. Thank you to our last couple guests for how cool they've been, for how much we've struggled to get their fucking episodes out. But it does feel good to be back to just Evan and I just shitting around, talking about shit we want to talk about.
Speaking of which, just been reading about a wheelchair.
Oh, the combat wheelchair?
Yeah.
That has been a conversation that has died down recently in the space, but it was pretty controversial there for a little bit.
Well, I don't really follow the space, so fuck 'em. But,
right. I agree with that, because the points they were making were stupid and dumb. I thought that the original print of it had some things that me personally, I would have changed. Not that I had any problems with them, but I would have done it a different way. However, I thought if I'm talking about the overall product for what it was meant to do, which was make a character that had a handicap, you make them be able to be an adventuring party. And I liked the way that they did that. I personally liked the product that they put out. Was it perfect? I didn't think it was, but I thought it was good. I thought it was really good.
See, I like it. I like the chair. I like, how thoughtful it is. I'm wondering if the author is disabled themselves, but there seems to be a lot of insight nonetheless.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. However, if this version 2 combat wheelchair was the first thing people read about it, it opens up with a very sarcastic and combative question and answer page.
It made me feel
attacked when I was reading it.
It did do that.
However, I like the chair.
What I had to do, because that is the first thing that you read, which I thought first, me personally, because Evan is not connected to Twitter. I am in the Twitter space. Our Twitter is my baby. So I saw, like, I know, I don't know if I follow the person that created this, but I saw it was circulating in the space. And I read the comments underneath it. And Evan, some of the absolute oxygen thieving, gross, disgusting, idiotic things I read in those comments. I would put that at the beginning of my page too.
That's fair, but that's totally, like, that's why I kept reading, because I could see why you would write something like this. You know, you've been hounded for a while, you know,
like, and the comments,
just reading this,
saying,
it just feels a straw man, because that's what it is. It's like, but he can float up and down stairs, isn't that unfair?
But dude, that's what people were saying. Like, people were saying these things, and if you were reading them, I know you would read the comments underneath this page, and you would just start maniacally laughing, because you would understand that they didn't even open the PDF to read what it did. All they read was the title, and then they were like, I can't believe this is so overpowered. I can't believe you're doing this to my my precious game.
Oh, God.
It's like
literally
that,
not overpowered.
It's not.
It's just good.
It just makes it plausible to have a disability in D&D. That's all it does.
Yeah, like, I mean, see, here's the thing. Like, it does take some work. Like, I can imagine there being work into putting this into your world and making it, like, a reality. And,
yeah,
like,
absolutely.
And, like, having it be cohesive with your world and shit. But, yeah, like, if your world is, like, more magically advanced, then, like, this would probably be, obsolete, you know? I could see that. I can see a lot of things where this would be an issue. I can see a lot of different things. But, on the whole, I think, if you want to play D&D with one of your friends who wants to play it, you fucking make it work. It's just fun.
I mean, and yeah, no, it's
just fucking D&D,
it is,
bro.
Just fun. And, like, I don't know, some of the dumb arguments. I had to stop. I don't remember if you remember this tweet. Like, I think I showed, I think I sent it to you, because, like, one night I was just pissed drunk. Like, I was sitting in my room. We had just finished playing, like, Among Us or something together, and I was shit-faced. And I got on Twitter, and I saw one of the comments, which was like, I think, I don't remember, like, the exact wording of it, but somebody tweeted back at the girl who made this and said, yeah, but in your world that has magic, a disability is just implausible. And I sat there and stewed for like 20 minutes just being so drunk. I typed out like 8 different tweets being like, you fucking idiot, dumb, stupid idiot. Like,
see,
I don't
it's
know.
Like,
it's just that is a straw man argument.
That's just ridiculous. Like, there will always be fucking disabilities that, like, not, well, you know, like, you gotta be playing in a pretty fucking specific D&D world to make something like a disability, like, obsolete. Like,
yeah. It's like, yeah, but there's magic. I'm like, dude, what if you're, like, magic doesn't cost no money? Like,
yeah,
I don't know. It didn't make any sense to me. That was just one of the stupid things I read underneath this shit.
Yeah, it's, and you know, like, I mean, when you're trying to roleplay in a game, I feel like there's a lot of psychological fucking leaps and loop-de-loops and fuckery with being disabled and, like, wanting to play somebody that isn't disabled, or, you know, I feel like there's just a lot of shit. There's a lot of baggage here that you wouldn't really want to fuck with for a game. Like, I know a lot, like, one of the biggest things is, like, a lot of people, when they get a disability, or when they become disabled, one of the biggest things is, like, to not, like, focus on, like, the loss, and more just start to accept yourself as who you are now.
Right, and like, and you can't do that in your, like, for instance, like, we talked about this a lot in player character creation, where it's, like, I always put a little bit of me in my characters.
Yeah.
However, if you've, like, because I love when people accept, like, who they are, and, like, who they've, like, accept their disability, accept this, accept that, and, like, I do think that we're turning into, like, a more accepting space, even though there are a lot of vocal, loud people that are stupid and annoying, but, like, if there is nothing to help represent a person who has a disability, I could see that being frustrating as fuck for them.
I mean, yeah, like, fucking... But yeah, I'm just a fan of this. I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'm
a lot.
big I and I'm forgetting the person that created this, so I do apologize. I'll find their Twitter.
Sarah Thompson, at Mustang Art.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much. That is the person that created this PDF. I'm sure they worked with a bunch of different people on it, but that's the main one. And We you have our stamp of approval. That shit's kick ass. I fucking love it, and I love the meaning
behind it. Yeah, she like provides sources of like people in like the D&D canon that have magic wheelchairs and shit, and it's like
the question for me is
never like that. This is an impossible thing to do. It's
not at all. And we also like very critical of things as well. And like I really liked how much time they spent on it and how like much care and thought they put into it to make it mesh with 5e. And to people that say it's overpowered, first of all, number one, it's not. Number two, dude, everything in 5e is overpowered. There's a spell called Globe of Invulnerability. There's a spell called Wall of Force that's impenetrable. I don't want to hear that it's overpowered bullshit. It doesn't make any sense to me. And there's a lot of things in 5e that's overpowered. If you don't like it, don't play 5e. That's the way I think of it.
5e is just... I mean, if we're going to get into it, 5e is just ridiculous and you shouldn't play it.
Shut the fuck up. And if this is your first episode you're listening, Evan loves 5e, but he has a love-hate relationship with 5e. I personally think 5e works with how overpowered a lot of the stuff is. It's because everything in the game is overpowered.
And it's funny, like, I'm just seeing this and, like, people saying that fucking the wheelchair is, like, overpowered, like... have you ever met a motherfucker who doesn't have legs? Right.
Like that's
they can do shit, like, with a normal wheelchair that's, like, overpowered.
Yeah. And, like, people are just fucking stupid, man. Like, and it got underneath my skin. That's why I wanted to talk about this a couple weeks ago, but we got far behind, but I'm glad we're getting into it now.
I don't know if you've ever read this, but the Dark Tower, like, one of the main characters in the Dark Tower is a black woman with no legs.
Yep, I read it.
so good.
Yeah, it's so good. And, like, so people who are making these arguments just obviously haven't read. I don't know if they can't read or if they just choose to not read, but,
Bofa.
But speaking of Globe of Invulnerability, do you want to talk about our session last night that we had for my campaign that I run with all of my sweet friends from back home?
Yeah. So
they fought. They're at a high level right now. All of them are at level 14, and the party is five right now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, five.
This is a party that can probably take down a dragon without losing anyone.
Probably. Yeah, it depends on the rolls. I think it would still be
some of the rolls would be tight because dragons have a lot of shit in their kit. A lot of AoE, but yeah,
a lot of
generally
in action.
What's the CR on an adult dragon? It's
20.
It's
20. Well, it also depends on the color. of the dragon as well.
So I know some of them are like CR fucking like 12 for like an adult.
Oh yeah, the younger ones and the adults are lower, but I think all the ancients are 20
the ancient
above.
Ones, yeah. So yeah,
all
if
the
this
ancient
is an
ones
ancient,
are 20 and
above. We might be a little screwed. Maybe. Depending. But yeah.
For a little bit of backstory, they're basically, to not take too much time explaining the campaign that we've been running for 4 fucking years, but
yeah.
They are on a mission to secure soldiers that have agreed to fight for the Empire but have been being assailed by some force. They also are over on this continent to find a lost party member that left on his own with another group of adventurers to find a weapon that had been long lost in the hills, or in the mountains. So it's a double whammy kind of thing.
Yeah, and we ran into a little bit of a... Like we just went through it because it wasn't... We probably weren't going to get that much farther, but we hit a snag a little bit of will Globe of Invulnerability work on spells that are innately cast by creatures? Because it's hard to say. I feel like the creators of D&D yeah. would be asked this, and it's like, oh, here's my stupid opinion.
The way I said it last night, which I want to backtrack a little bit because I didn't really know the way that I would rule it is it all comes down to what it says in the monster sheet. If it says this is an innate ability, then I would say it would go through. If it says this is a casted spell, then it would not go through. Essentially,
yeah, because. See, here's the thing, because a lot of, I know fucking, like, pixies can cast, fucking polymorph on people.
Sleep, yeah, all those things.
It is listed as, like, a polymorph spell.
Yeah.
But it's not listed, it's not stated if they have to, like, cast it, like a normal person would
cast.
Yeah,
that's true, but it also, to me, technically qualifies as a spell, but, like, things it wouldn't work on is, like, a dragon's breath or, like, a lightning
exactly.
spell.
Yeah.
Something like that.
That would never work. It's more, I think the way I would rule it is that if it tells you that, like, a spell is cast,
correct.
like a monster is about to use, like,
this
fucking
spell.
Plane shift.
Yeah.
That would work with counterspell.
Right.
Or fucking
Globe of Invulnerability.
Or like if a monster was about to cast polymorph on you, Globe of Invulnerability would work.
Right. Okay.
But
yeah,
if
I see
it,
what you're
if
saying.
It has an ability that does something to you, that probably wouldn't.
Right. That's the way that I would rule it as well. It's one of the things that comes down to wording, I think. It's the same way, like, you know how some spells will say a diamond worth however much, or a spell will say diamonds worth that much. Like, if it says a diamond, it needs to be one solid stone worth that much gold. If it says diamonds, it means you can use multiple stones to use it on one spell.
Dude, I need to figure out a way to fix that. Like,
what?
I cannot, like, comprehend a way to describe how, like, one diamond would be. Like, cost is such a shitty determination for quality. It's like a fucking book. Can cost like 2,500 gold pieces,
right.
And like the comprising elements of that are nothing.
But with
like
stones,
a shitty diamond
like a...
could be worth 2,500 gold. So like the amount of gold, like it's I like it. I hate
well,
gold
I think that's
as
the way,
determining quality
I think that's
factor.
The way of, like going to somebody that specializes in gems to find out its quality and the cracks in it or. Something like that that would reduce or boost up the gold weight of a diamond.
I think I might just make like a quality sheet.
I would actually be so okay with that. That would actually be very interesting to read.
Yeah, like a crystal fidelity sheet or something.
There has to be one out there already,
yeah,
right?
Like,
not that you shouldn't make your own, but like there has to be one
no,
out
like,
there,
No, like
right?
The first thing you do when you have an idea is you look it up.
Oh, abso-fucking-lutely.
Cause
that would actually be cool as
it.
Shit. Because guess what I'm not? a master jewelsmith. Yeah, I don't know how much a diamond's worth.
I'm not a geologist. Yeah. I don't know cleavage. I don't know, yeah.
I took one geo class in undergrad because I was forced to, and I slept through most of it.
I only know one hardness, and it's not about geology.
Hey, uh-oh, okay, that was a sex joke. Good job, Evan.
I did it.
Hey, Evan, you did it. I'm proud of you. But that actually leads me to the next point that I was actually interested to talk about, because we went through this in our game, and our game has had all these different fucking ups and downs, so it's been stressful, but actually the last, year has been pretty calm as it pertains to our game. I won't say year. The last 6 months have been pretty calm for our game in general, but something I did want to talk about was fucking burnout, man. DM and player burnout, like D&D burnout. It's a real thing. And when I first started playing it, I could have never thought that that could be a real thing. I'm like, no, this is one of my favorite hobbies. I love doing it. Like, I love hanging out with my friends. But no, like, holy shit, dude. I got so burnt out when COVID hit. So burnt out.
Dude, I'm starting to think that the thing to do for us might be to not end this campaign that's super important to us in a Discord call. I think we might want to just fucking wait. Here's the thing about Discord. Like, it's so... Not just... We use Zoom, whatever. Yeah, online D&D. Zoom. If you set it up right, it's so almost as good.
It's
so almost gets it. It's like... Fucking roleplay can almost be as good. Like,
we just are, we're in-person players until the day that we die. Like, we are gonna do that until, for serious player or for serious campaigns, we will always, if it's an option, play in person. Am I wrong by saying that, Evan?
No.
Okay. What I will say is I think that I will try to make a case to everyone to meet up for the last session. Like, and if we can't, then I will just delay it. Until we can, essentially.
Yeah, I think I'm fine with that.
Because with the shift, man, I've burnt the fuck... And I don't get me wrong, I think I've fully made the switch now, because at the beginning of COVID, I was like, oh, this will pass, and, like, you know, we'll be all right, and everything will be fine. And then it never did, and now it's still not passed. So, like, I fully embraced online, and I'm doing a lot better with it, and I've found that creative spark and, like, that energy back again. But yeah, dude, burnout is real, and when you feel it come on, if I can give anyone listening right now a good piece of advice, it's this. If you feel burnout coming on, don't push through it like I did. Don't push through it and think, this is my favorite hobby, I'll get over it, I'll get past this, blah, 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 blah. It's just going to stack on top of each other, and it's going to get worse and worse, and it's going to affect the way you DM. It affect the way I DM, and it fucked me up.
I do a lot of work as a hobby. I make fucking videos. I write. I work on making D&D shit. I try to do art. A lot of the things I do for fun are work.
Absolutely.
So when burnout's just so intensely real. Like, you can love something and not want to do it.
Like, it's masked, though. Like, with it's masked because, like, for instance, in my brain, I'm like, but you love doing this. Like, why don't you want to do it right now? And it's because it's work. Like, if you're DMing a big campaign, like, or even if you're playing in a campaign, like, it's still work, but, like, especially if you're DMing a full campaign that's, like, homebrew and you have all your players to worry about, like, that is work, whether or not you love doing it.
Exactly. What you need to do, what everyone who does work as a hobby needs to do, is acknowledge how actually difficult what you're doing is.
Yes, that's a great fucking point.
Because if you like something, if you love D&D, if you love writing, if you love making videos, and then all of a sudden you're like, huh, why don't I want to do this thing that I love? Then you start to feel guilty about it, and you start to feel anxiety,
And you start to question yourself,
And then it's like, no, you like it, it's just hard. Yep. And you got to actually pace yourself and like maybe set and you times deserve a for you fucking to work break, on it,
man.
Yeah, like maybe like maybe you don't do it anymore to relax. That's the thing. A hobby that you love doing might not be a relaxing hobby.
That's fucking fair. Like, and what you need to do at that point is find something that you do that relaxes you.
Because yeah, like video games or go. Fucking hanging out reading with friends or
reading
TV.
Or working yeah. out. Anything really.
Yeah. You like, have to set dividers on like you what do. Is
you have to divide your life.
Exactly. Like what is relaxing, what is work, what is like menial work, what is...
And you have to I dude, Evan, like you're on it today, like you're saying like all the right shit, like you're filling in the next step I was gonna go, because like no joke, when I started working a full-time, like what I consider a real person job, you know, I'm working a full-time real person job, I'm going to school full-time, I'm fitting in D&D, I'm fitting in time with friends, I'm fitting in like working out and training for my upcoming fights, like I gotta, like, get yourself an agenda planner, get yourself a day planner, and I literally will write in when I have free time, like, in my planner. I'll be like, listen, from 2 to 5, I'm not doing anything. I'm doing whatever the fuck I want to do, and I'll literally write that in my planner, so when I look at it, I go, oh, that's the time I'm gonna relax, because if I don't do that, I'll fill the idle time with work or things for the podcast.
Or doing like, nothing, but right. just, like, thinking about the shit you have to do.
That, I am so guilty of doing that shit. Like, when I don't schedule things to do that relax me during my free time, I'll sit here and be like, well, what can I be doing for the brand, for the Verbal Components brand? What can I be doing to get this promotion at work? What can I be doing to write lore for D&D? No, I need to be doing none of that. Y'all need to be doing none of that. Do what makes you happy, like paint minis or anything that can relax you that doesn't feel like you have to be doing it is so important, dude. So important.
Abso-fucking-lutely. And, you know, it's funny because you have, like, if you have video editing for a hobby, it just takes hours to do, like, a lot, like, to get anything done.
Absolutely.
Like, so, you have to just, like, be very real with yourself that, like, even though you love doing it, you're going to hate your life when you do this for a while, and you're not going to want to start doing it sometimes. Yes. Yeah. So.
And I tell this to a lot of the guys that are I have, like, underneath me and that I'm mentoring is... A lot of people don't like acronyms, but if you set yourself SMART goals, which is an acronym for specific, measurable, obtainable, realistic, and time-oriented, you're gonna... And don't get me wrong, I preach this shit to my guys all the time, and sometimes I don't even do it. But you have to do these things to make yourself understand that you're doing enough. You're doing, like, enough work, because I'll tell you right now, and I admitted this to my table... What was it, 2 weeks ago, where I just straight up told him, I was like, listen, the last month or two, my brain has not been into this, and I know it's shown through in my prep work and my DMing and all this stuff that I know they noticed, I just didn't care at the time. And I was like, dude, because I ignored it for so long that when you stop ignoring it, you realize how far down you've slipped in your abilities. And that just makes you feel even worse. It makes you feel even more guilty.
Yeah. I mean, just being real with yourself about everything. Like, I mean, like, what I just said was stupid. Because, like, being real with yourself is basically just, like, just get over it. Like, figure, like, you know. Being real with yourself is a high ideal. It's not absolutely. As simple as it sounds.
No, it's not.
And the SMART goals, I mean, you might say that it's like fucking, you know, like spiel or whatever.
People roll their eyes, but it's like the content is right.
It's not that. It's no. like setting like actual like achievable goals to like, yeah. like step by step, like achieve a long-term goal. That's the way to, like, actually succeed in life. Like Hell that's, yeah. like, the secret.
Hell yeah.
So, like, you can call it, like, the SMART acronym. You can literally, like, there's got to be, like 100 different ways that people have given that advice.
There's a billion different things you can say to give that same advice, but...
But, like, the base advice is to just have achievable goals.
Yeah, and to manage your life and your free time, man.
If you have a goal that is, like, lofty, that, like, isn't easily achievable, like, in a small time frame, do the, like, make, like, the elements of your big goal into separate actual goals that you feel good about doing. Because, like, if you do something difficult and it's like, oh, and I still have so much left to do, then you don't even feel good about doing something hard.
Nope, you do not. And this applies to D&D, this applies to work, it applies to friendships even, to fucking anything you want to do it to, is if you bite things off in manageable pieces, they're easy to chew and swallow. It's just...
Yeah, you edit... Life. So, I edit video. I edit 3 minutes of a, like, 45-minute long video, and I could be like, man, there's so much fucking video left. Or I look at the 3-minute, like, full fucking, that like, music done. Video I just edited, and I'm like, hell yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And then that's fucking just the secret. That's the secret to not burning out.
That's true.
If we're
going to
bring it back. Burnout just comes when you feel like what you're doing doesn't matter or is too hard or like, or you're not able to do what you want to do. Like, so yeah. Just fucking
that got very real, and I thought that was pretty good. I think we're pretty good this shit.
Yeah, cut it. Professional, it's only going downhill. We gotta cut it. Yeah. It's gonna go downhill from here.
Yeah, slowly but surely it'll be devolved into dick jokes, and then I'm pretty sure all the things we just said are lost.
No, no, I must penis. I got, damn.
cut the episode. The last thing that we wanted to talk about today. The new book that got announced, what was it, a month or two ago, that more and more things are getting leaked for, but a lot of it is guesswork, a lot of it people know already, but, Tasha's Cauldron of Everything, is a book that it might be the first one that I found. I'm excited for all books that come out. Let's not get it twisted. Like when Icewind came out, I got excited for that. But this one I am very, very excited for. I think they're doing a lot of good things, including like making things like race and class less crazy. Like you know how you feel almost forced to pick a race based on its pluses to fit a certain class. I think they're kind of going away from that a little bit in this book, which I've
never done that. So
no, I know you haven't, but there are penalties. Like if I wanted to make a barbarian wizard, like there are penalties to like making
fucking Goliath wizard.
Pardon me.
Goliath, see, that's like, just so Goliath coupled. And Barbarian are inseparable, so.
Yeah, that actually just proved the point that I was making, is I've coupled those two in my fucking brain so much that it that's the point I'm making. I feel like with this book, they're making the first steps towards going away from that, which I like and don't like, but I like more than I don't like it, because I did think it was cool to, like, give each race their, like, specific sort of pluses and minuses, but I also would like to play a Goliath wizard because I think it would be funny.
I mean, yeah, like you have a fucking
or like a gnome barbarian
sentient varied races, like why the fuck would like
you bottleneck it? But they are moving away from that sort of you're going to play this race, therefore you can pick from like these handful of classes kind of thing. And I think that's fucking cool, man. I think that's really cool that they're taking this step towards that sort of new era D&D where race and class don't really have to be as intertwined as Goliath and Barbarian, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I mean, you know me. I hate all limitations.
You really, really
most
do.
Things.
And if anybody has listened to more than one episode of our podcast, they also know that.
I love playing against my type. I love Well, you know, I don't love... I don't actually love doing that. I just hate not being able to do that.
I
generally play very close to, like, my type. Yeah.
But even the backstory for this book, and I mean, it basically just outlines that she's a longtime frenemy of the wizard Mordenkainen, that grew up into a powerful archmage who ruled over an entire nation as its witch queen before transforming herself into a demigod called Yggwilv. So that whole, like, backstory
really?
Of, yeah, bro, you should read the backstory. Like, the backstory's kick ass. And, I mean, I don't know a ton about the book yet, so I'm not going to... This segment's not going to be too long, but I do know that there's going to be 22 new subclasses, which I'm fucking stoked about. One of them being the Psionic Mind Sorcerer, which I am so fucking pumped about. I cannot begin to, like tell you how excited I am for better psionic spells.
The psionic stuff has pretty much... been entirely relegated to Unearthed Arcana up until now, right?
Yeah,
it's been a long time coming.
Yeah, and
I'm
stoked for that. Also, they're reprinting the order domain for cleric, the Circle of Spores druid, from Guildmaster's Guide to Ravnica, the College of Eloquence bard, which I'm super excited for, from the Mythic Odysseys of Theros, Oath of Glory paladins from the same book. And the Blade Singing Warlock, or the Blade Singing Wizard from Sword Coast Adventurer's Guide. Now,
Are they making Blade Singing better?
See, there's the thing. That's what we don't know yet. They're reprinting these in this book, so there is a chance for them to make them better. I don't think personally they will, because
they're not
going to
touch
bastards.
Blade Singing.
Yeah,
Blade Singing is like. Because the thing about it is, if you make it better, you make it good, and therefore overpowered.
I want it to be good so bad. but
because you're a wizard with a sword, and to make that good, you have to fucking
make it
overpowered.
Yeah. I will hold on to the shred of hope that I have left that they will reprint these and also sort of rework them based on community feedback. Now, do they have a great track record of doing that, Evan? No. But am I going to hopelessly wait like a kid on Christmas morning to get the toy he knows he's not going to get? I absolutely will.
This will be the year you stop believing in Santa.
I think it actually might. I think D&D will just rip it right out of me. All my Christmas spirit gone.
Man.
And then he'll die like an elf or whatever the fuck his sled runs on Christmas spirit. It's like my life runs on D&D spirit, and they're about to rip the little bit of soul I have left from my body.
It's like in fucking, This is like all versions where you're like, I don't believe in fairies, and like Tinkerbell fucking dies.
Yeah.
Like,
but
me
I am
saying
excited
that
for the
just
book.
Now obliterated a fairy like 40,000 miles away.
A pixie was flying and all of a sudden just funk, like out of existence.
Yeah, like exactly. Like, I don't believe in fairies. Dab.
Well, thank you all so much for listening to this week's episode of the Verbal Components Podcast. I know I was excited for last week's episode to come out. I am excited for this week's episode to come out. That was fucking great.
Yeah, that
we
was
have been
fun
back
one.
On our bullshit. But we appreciate you guys for rocking with us through that month rocky period that we went through due to circumstances that we had no control over, really. We appreciate you guys for still listening. We appreciate how much interaction we've been getting on our Twitter and our Discord and, you know, all of our social medias. Our merch store is live. Our merch store will be live until the end of October. Then I will be taking it down so that we can work on a new line of clothing for all of you. So if you want to pick up our first ever merch drop, please go to our link tree on our Twitter at @podcastvc. All of our links there, our merch, our Twitter, our YouTube, our podcast, all of it is right there. You can check out our merch store and you can pick up some cool merch. We try to keep the prices as low as possible because we didn't really go into making a merch store with an idea of getting profit, but
yeah. And I think as of right now, we've made our money back at least.
Yeah. So like
having the store, so we win.
Yeah.
Haha.
So get fucked.
Get fucked, fans. You just got
scammed. We didn't
scammed.
Go in with an idea to make profit off of it. We tried to keep the prices as low as possible to get you guys in our merch. So we have hats and stickers and shirts and hoodies and all cool shit. So go check out our merch store and pick up something if you want to support the show.
Thank you for everybody who has already picked up stuff. It's wild to see people buying our merch. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah,
so thank
Luna,
you.
I expect some free advertising. Expect yeah. to wear that shirt in How I Nerd, and I want to see it as ASAP.
So, thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for buying our stuff. You guys are amazing. Thank you guys for sharing the show. Please follow us on Twitter if you haven't done that, at PodcastVC. Please join our community Discord so you can get in on the conversation. It's pretty active in there, and there's a bunch of fucking homies in there, so please go in there and check that out. Other than that, please be safe. It is still crazy out there. If it's your cup of tea, I know this is a crazy one, but please get out and register to vote if you haven't been registered to vote yet. Please remember to wash your hands, stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you guys next week. I think that's it. Goodbye.